It is Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. All right, tonight we're going to have Allison Burnfield in here. She's from Rock the Vote. She's going to come in the second break and explain what Rock the Vote is. I'm not exactly sure what its origins are. I always think MTV when I think Rock the Vote. But I don't know who started that whole thing and what it's about, and I, for one, am against it. I don't like young stoners voting. I don't want to urge them to vote. I'd like to figure out how many people are voting in this country.
You think only the landed gentry ought to be voting?
That's right.
Yeah.
White landowners should be the only people. You must own at least 700 head of cattle to vote. No, I figure, 100 million people vote, and that seems like enough. Judging from the people that call this show, I'd say 50 million people would be enough. Hey, I'm all right with 10 people voting if I think they're smart.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, the more dumb people that vote, the more things get screwed up, if you really think about it. Forget the presidential race. Forget the gubernatorial race. Forget about a proposition. Let's just say you're voting on where to eat.
Okay.
There's a good restaurant, and there's a crappy restaurant. Now, how many people you want raising their hand? You want a bunch of idiots from the Farm Belt raising their hand who don't feel like voting? Where do you think you're going to be? You're going to end up at an IHOP. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not have those people vote. I want to eat somewhere good. Let the smart people do the voting. I'm fine with that. All right.
Would you be in the smart group or the Yahoo group?
I'd be in the good restaurant group.
Yeah, but when it comes to voting for government officials.
Oh, who knows? Here's how I vote. I vote for whatever proposition and whatever official I see the least commercials for. I see a proposition that's tons and tons of commercials. I vote for whatever it's against or for. You know, whatever the opposite of that is. I figure if someone's got enough money to throw at this, it ain't good. That's the way it works.
Okay.
All right. Dirk?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah, I have this really kind of screwed up problem.
Yeah.
And it's happened a couple times before tonight, but tonight it was really bad. All right, okay, I was having sex with my girlfriend, and it was kind of rough. And I kind of slipped outside of her, and then I hit her pelvic bone, and my penis kind of popped.
Right.
And I was wondering if that was a normal thing.
You mean it popped like it exploded?
No.
Cracked. Made that crack sound?
Yeah, kind of a crack sound.
Crack down towards the base where it attaches to your body or right down the shaft somewhere?
The middle.
The middle, yeah.
Oh, really? Can it crack there?
It can tear.
Oh, because that's bad. Oh, don't do that, Anderson. It hurts my teeth.
I know. It hurt for a split second, but it was okay later, and I've had it happen before, and like the next day I'm fine and everything.
Drew, can you have a MRI of your joint?
Of your junk?
Of your chunk?
Yeah.
Can you have a JMRI?
Yeah.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Just lie down and get it. I don't know if they necessarily... It's not like putting your hand out there into the beam.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I've had an MRI. It is like... I would imagine it's like in a bad diving bell accident is basically what that is. You put your torso into would be like a metal trash can and have someone beat on it with a wooden spoon half an hour.
They now have open MRIs. They're like two giant drums you lie in.
Oh, thank God. Because I had this MRI, and it's so funny. They're like, hey, you want to listen to some music while you're in there? Sure, why not? Then turn the music up so you can barely hear it, and you lie there while these random high-pitched bong sounds come out from all different, or I should say gong sounds, from all different directions and drive you insane. I tell you.
That's what happened to you.
Yeah. And then they get on the mic every once in a while. Like, I would simulate now if the goddamn reverb worked in this dump. And they go, could you stop flailing? Yeah, this is for my hand. I want to sue that guy that made me do that, by the way. All right, so Dirk?
Yeah.
You got to have your junk checked. Is it swollen? Is it black and blue?
No, it's completely fine.
No, well, then you're fine.
Well,
all right. He's fine if it's completely fine, right? Because if you burst that cavern in there.
If you rip the cavernous sinus and that's in there, you can cause problems with function. It needs to be repaired, sometimes surgically.
Right. Tom?
Hello.
Hey, you're 22.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my question is I was out at a bar last weekend, and I got together with a girl, and we went back to her place when we were, after we had gotten to know each other for a little bit, talk a little bit. go back to her place and start to mess around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And once we started messing around, I figured out that she was a hermaphrodite.
Nice.
And
what do you mean hermaphrodite?
Well, she had both genders. She had a vagina and a penis.
Vagina?
She had a vagina and a penis?
Right.
So does that make you bi?
Well, I was curious if that would make me gay. Well, I went down on her.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until right at that point. I was wondering if that would make me gay.
Yes.
If I went down on her.
Yes, I'm sorry, Tom. On a technicality. You're now damned to a life of schlong downing because of this one incident. I'm sorry, Tom. Okay. But rules are rules.
Okay. Even though I didn't know.
No. I know. And my heart goes out for you. And I wish I could do something about it. You know what I mean? It's like when somebody gets thrown out of a military academy for cheating, even though they were just covering for their friend or because they didn't have time to study because their family member was ill or something. And you wish, you sympathize, but rules are rules. You go down, there's a penis down there, you're now gay from this day forth. You must then take the walk of shame that the gays take.
Let me have a little fun with this guy.
Okay. Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, where was the vagina?
It was below the penis.
Below it.
Right. The penis was on the top and the vagina was below the penis.
And there were testicles.
There were no testicles, though.
No testicles.
No.
And
a little bit of skin there, but it didn't appear that there are any testicles. I really didn't study that in.
Yeah.
So could it have been somebody maybe that was like getting a sex change operation?
I don't think so.
And
she said she was born that way.
On the way down, you didn't notice anything?
Well, it was like dark, and then, you know, once I got down there, I realized that all that was there, and it was, you know.
And
it was dark. Let me tell you, hold on. You know what this is like? This is like saying, I got third-degree burns when I went down to the market to get a quart of milk. Well, what happened? Well, it was on fire when I, you know, walked in, but I didn't notice it, and then I got back to the dairy section. I couldn't get out. Really?
Yeah.
While you're heading up the street and the place was ablaze, you didn't want to stop at that point? You didn't notice it? You just walked through the door and then got to the back and then noticed you were in there? How do you not notice that penis on the way down? You've got to get a hand down there before your mouth gets down there. I'm really having a lot of difficulty believing this. Are you that far out of it?
Well, maybe it was because we were drinking. I don't know what it was. It was just, you know.
All right.
And it happened. And
so you had to hold the penis out of the way in order to get to the vagina?
Well, once I realized everything that was down there, then I kind of like pulled away and I didn't continue that after that point.
I see.
How did she react to that?
How did she react?
Yeah.
She's like, what's the matter? You know, like she didn't know it was there or something. And then,
I see.
You know, I told her that, you know, I wasn't comfortable with that. And she was kind of all right with that.
I see. Okay.
She said that she was born that way and whatnot. And
yeah, but it was a she.
Yeah, it was a she.
Yeah, who wins if you have a vagina and a penis, Drew?
Sometimes there's something called clitoromegaly.
Yeah.
And you can also have ambiguous genitalia, which are sort of hard to tell.
Yeah, I think I got that.
Like a female.
Yeah. Everything else about her.
Right.
All right. Well, Tom, maybe you shouldn't go to that bar.
I don't think I'll be back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'll tell you. Here's the deal. If you're some, you're Charlie Sheen or something, or you're in a rock band and you go to a bar and you leave with a chick that night to go home and have sex, that's understandable. But when you're a goofy dude and you go to a bar and the chick says, yeah, let's head back to your place and get it on. Expect the worst. Look for a surprise. You could get rolled. There could be a penis. There could be boyfriend waiting outside to beat your ass and take your wallet. All you goofy dudes out there who have crappy jobs and are short and fat and don't look good, and you go to a crappy bar and you talk to a chick. By the way, how much luck have you had picking up women? You should be suspicious. You talk to a girl for 10 minutes, it's like, yeah, let's go back to that place and get it on. Be very suspicious. Very suspicious at that point. Right?
Absolutely.
There's no free lunch sexually, right, Drew?
Good advice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Amy?
Hello?
You're 18.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Turn that down, please.
I know. We just did. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. I go to college down in San Diego, and my roommate left the last week.
Yeah, your favorite school.
San Diego State?
No.
Oh, UC?
USC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a little better.
Yeah.
Marginally.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Marginally now, but... okay, so my roommate left.
Your point, I think.
What?
She didn't know what marginal meant.
Yes, I do.
All right, baby, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so we went down, me and my friend, we went down to TJ, and we're like...
For the sake of the rest of the country.
Tijuana, everybody. Yeah. I went down there, I've been down there many, many times.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yes.
You go to, and left your mark.
Time. You go down to Revolution Street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
We didn't get out.
You go to Margarita's Village?
No.
Do you want a Tilly's?
No.
The Unicorn Bar?
No.
All right, I'm going to flip over all the cards. Where'd you go?
A liquor store.
Oh, so let me write that down. A liquor store. Yeah.
Okay. And okay, like if you knew us, we're like totally like just... good girls. We've never done, like, anything wrong.
Sure.
So this was, like, crazy for us.
Is it like crazy or like crazy?
Like crazy.
Right. Okay. You're basically virgin debutantes who want to get a little boozing
exactly.
And TJ.
You don't even know. Seriously.
All right. So we're getting the picture.
But here's the thing I don't like about the statement, you don't even know. It implies I'd like to know, which I don't. Not interested. Oh. All right, but go ahead, Amy.
Because it'd probably be really boring.
All right, so you went down to Tijuana.
Yes.
And you went to a liquor store.
Right.
And
then we bought a bottle of tequila.
Yes.
They're
out of Chardonnay.
Yeah.
And?
So then we brought that. We were scared that, like, we'd get caught at the border and, like, get arrested or something. Because we don't know what goes on. So we poured it into, like, a water bottle. And we went across the border and we brought it back to my room. This isn't really an interesting story, but...
No, it isn't. No. So, that's first time I've been right tonight. All right, so you bring the booze. You know what? Hold on a second. I've been to Tijuana a gazillion times, and let me tell you the debauchery that went on in that little slice of heaven over there known as Tijuana. First off, guys performing oral sex on stage, in the bars, in the strip bars.
On
women. On stage. Hmm. Not by the side of the stage. Not off in some dark corner.
Part of the act.
On the stage, in the middle of the stage. Now, there was a great bar there called the Unicorn, good strip bar. And it was great because they had a live band. And this band, it sort of played the music they used to play in the old Alaskan Airline commercials. Like one guy, like the guy, remember the bald guy from Benny Hill? Three guys like that in the band. You know what's funny when guys play... brass instruments that have dents in them. That's not like high comedy. One guy playing like a trumpet with a dent in it. Another guy with a drum kit but no kit, just a snare drum. And another guy with
an
oversized guitar. Yeah, and the cymbal. And whenever the girls would come out, they just crank it up. Like the trumpet, like old guys just sitting. They couldn't even get a record going. And the women were great because they're mean. They just go walking out on stage, big and fat, big asses over there in Mexico, and they're dancing around, and guys start pawing at them, and they kick them right in the face, and they make this sound every time they kick, aye! Kick them in the forehead, aye! They just walk on this old stage, they shake their ass, and once in a while, like I said, a guy reaches and grabs, aye! And they just smack them in the head. Anyway. Jeez, I don't know if I want to keep going with this story. Really, it gets pretty sordid.
This is where you pass out behind and get picked up by the police. And vomit in the ice container.
No. How dare you? That was at Margarita's Village.
I'm sorry.
Later on that evening. Yes, that's when I vomited in the ice machine and fell asleep in the alley behind and was smacked by the cop at the billy club. This place is where we used to bring the booze in because the drinks are very expensive at the strip clubs. So you can go to a bar and get a drink back when for 50 cents, but strip club is like $2. We bring our own bottle of booze in, freshen our own drinks up, get a glass of Coke and keep it going all night with the rum under the table. But we were discovered right when another one of our buddies was going upstairs with a hooker, and we got chased out of the place. It was like out of a bad coming-of-age movie. But anyway, lots of debauchery. Over there.
I got that picture.
Piles and piles of debauchery.
So we haven't heard the question from Amy yet.
She don't have one. Amy?
Yes.
So you brought the tequila back to your room in a water bottle.
Is there a question here somewhere?
Yeah. Okay. So we didn't know what we were doing, so we just kept drinking and drinking. Like, we're just sitting there, and then, like, we get up and, like, oh, my gosh. But anyway, okay.
You must be good looking.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I got that vibe. Because people,
anyway.
They don't tell you to shut up enough, right? You know what I'm saying?
She can't hear you.
People aren't mean to you. They're not mean to you in real life, right?
No.
I mean, face to face.
No.
Because you're good looking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you tell these long-winded stories. Ugly chicks,
sorry. Okay,
they don't get away with it. They're like, listen, Hag, let's go.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I woke up.
Whatever,
Anna. I have, like, these big, like, huge, like, red blotches on my eyes. That was 2 mornings ago. And today, they're, like, they grew bigger and, like.
Yeah. Did you throw up?
From vomiting?
Yeah, that night I did.
There you go.
From vomiting.
Really?
Yeah.
And how long is it
going to
last?
Oh, damn it! It's about a week for those vessels. It's burst blood vessels. Yeah. It, so.
Oh, yes. I've been there. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, didn't you do something with your whole, from the neck up or something?
What?
Like petechia from your neck up or something?
I had bloodshot eyelids when I was 16. I got drunk and fell asleep in the driveway, or fell asleep's not a great way of putting it. Belly up in the hedge. I made it halfway up my driveway and I couldn't make it any further. I just collapsed, like my feet were hanging out of the hedge. My sister came home like 1:30 in the morning, like, kicked me. Hey, Adam. I'm like, huh? Come on, you want to get up? I'm like, all right. I went to bed. You know you've had a bad night when you wake up the following morning, there's gravel stuck to your cheek from the driveway. Like, you get up and you go, hey, what's this? Oh, hey, it's driveway gravel where I spent the first part of the evening. It's a very ironic night. I vomited on my friend John Tyler. He had 2 sweaters, and he lent me one, and he was wearing the other one. He had, like, the exact same sweater. One was blue and one was green. I vomited on the one he lent me, and then I vomited on the one he was wearing, too.
And here's,
so I knocked out both their sweaters.
And I can imagine, yeah, how you guys set out that night. You're going to meet some women.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That
worked out, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a big night.
You talk to anybody before you started vomiting?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is the pathetic history of the male.
No, my buddy Chet worked at the AMPM, and he stole a half bottle of white wine. I drank about 3/4 of the bottle and then just vomited the rest of the evening. Drew, how many times have you vomited from booze?
I got a pretty weak stomach.
Really? A handful of times?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Good man. Because I'm amazed when I talk to people. Like, how many times you ever vomited from booze? They're like, well, I can't remember. Maybe once? Twice? I'm like, how many times you vomited? 80? And I don't really consider myself an alcoholic.
I don't even consider yourself that.
Thank you. Star?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. When I was, well, first of all, I want to tell you, I listen to you guys every night, and I really enjoy listening to you guys. You guys always give good information.
Thank you.
But when I was 12, I was raped, and, I got pregnant. That was my first time having intercourse or whatever.
Who did it?
My best friend's boyfriend.
How old was he?
He was 17.
Mm-hmm.
How old is your best friend?
I think she's like 16. They have a baby together.
Why are you hanging out with such older folks?
I don't know. Because I was new to the town.
Okay.
And, like, she was, like, my first friend.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
All right. Let's let her keep going. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was 12, and I had got raped, so, I was scared because I turned out pregnant. And being so young, my mom, even though I'm really against it, she made me get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, now that I'm 17... I've been with this guy for, like, 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and,
Yeah, it's time to try again.
we were trying to have a kid, but
sure.
It was stupid.
Why?
Well, it's been so many years.
Why?
I know.
Why?
We were trying, but...
Why?
I don't know. We just wanted it, but I think it was because I felt like I didn't have my dad, and
well, where's your dad?
He lives in San Bernardino.
Why did he leave?
I don't know, because he was, like, really making my mom do drugs that she didn't want to do.
So he's a drug addict, too?
Yeah.
Did he ever physically abuse you?
Yeah. Oh, me?
Yeah.
No, I was his favorite daughter.
You saw him do things to other people?
Yes. He used to beat my mom and my sister.
Right.
Well, thank God he liked you. Great.
That's what sets you up for the victimization at 12, is having such a victimized dad and then,
right,
then abandoning him.
How old's your boyfriend now?
He's 18.
Okay. Way too young. Well, listen, you want to have the same kind of life your mom's had?
No, that's exactly why I broke up with him yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Why, how about going lesbian for a few years?
I was thinking about that. No, I'm playing. No.
I'd like all troubled young girls to go lesbian from 13 to 25. Oh, then you can snap out of your lesbian stupor and get to heaven.
We need to sort of put Star under like glass and study her. Here's somebody who's able to actually make change.
Yeah, I don't know. God knows what her boyfriend. But what'd your boyfriend
she got
do?
Rid of him.
Oh, got rid after he tried to set her on fire, probably. What'd he do?
Nothing. He called me collect from some girl's house.
Oh, okay.
Still, she was able to assert herself.
All right, good for you, Star.
Yeah.
Listen, you don't want to go down the same road your mom went down, do you?
Nope.
Good. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I don't know what's going on, though. I have, like, so much, like, I'm always depressed and everything.
Right, because you've had a crappy life thus far.
Yeah.
But you have some strength. You got some brains.
Go to school. Start taking care of yourself. Do not have a kid yet. You're not ready.
All right, listen, everybody.
You will get pregnant. Don't worry. You will.
Every ounce of success I've ever had in my life is doing the opposite of whatever my family did. That's what I've done with my life. Oh, my God. I hope they're not listening. But here's my point. I'll tell you how I treat my family. They're like a guy who bets and loses every time he bets on a team.
To find out what they're betting on,
yeah. He takes the Vikings, you take the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
It's easy.
Let's go out the Jets.
Whatever they do, you do the opposite. And that's what all you should do. All you kids whose mom was a drug addict, whose dad was beaten on mom, whose poor mom was molested and raped on, you go the opposite way. Haven't you gotten enough yet? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Why do it? Why go down that road? You know better than anyone how horrible a road it is. Why does that suck you? What's so alluring about that life of crap you've led?
That's who you are. You've got to cast that play.
Why keep that going, everybody?
I don't know.
Good. I'm glad you don't. All right, you guys are all lucky because I had something I wanted to say and I can't remember what it was.
But I'm sure it will come back to you when we return.
No, it won't, but don't worry. There'll be more.
No.
All right, we'll talk a little politics and voting after this. Hey, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carrot Chop in here tomorrow. Speaking of politics.
Ow!
And then the insane clown posse. And let's get scary. All right. So we're talking tonight to Allison Burnfield from Rock the Vote. Let's talk about Rock. What was the origins of Rock the Vote?
Rock the Vote was started in 1990 by members of the recording industry. Atmosphere at that time was there were a lot of censorship attacks that were happening against the recording industry, and so the idea was to start an organization that could potentially mobilize young voters to address that issue. I mean, there are things like in Florida, you know, record store employees getting busted for selling Two Live Crew albums, and,
right.
and you know, Luke Campbell getting busted for performing. So that was the idea. There was self-interest, obviously.
And did MTV just sort of pick that up and run with it? Because, like I was saying earlier, I always thought it was an MTV-based idea.
No, we've always been independent from MTV. They're pretty much our primary media partner, but they have their own Choose or Lose campaign as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so you want to get younger people to vote.
Yeah, and now I have to rationalize to you why.
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah.
How many, okay, let me just do some math, though, first
okay.
off, because I'm curious on some of these numbers. Well, probably, but I reckon there's, you know, 65, 70 million people in the country, right? And how many of those are voting age? It's like 200 million?
You totally have me on that one. I have no idea.
Do you have a different job during the day, or do you always do Rock the Vote?
I always do Rock the Vote. I do not have the numbers on how many people are eligible to vote.
Okay. Hold your ears for a second. I got to talk to Drew.
Okay, talk to Drew.
I'm always amazed at people that do stuff for a living and don't know what I would consider the most basic elements of that job.
So I can tell you all sorts of other numbers. You can ask me the right question. I'll give you the right answer.
I want to know how many people vote. That should be a layup, shouldn't it? Don't you start there?
No.
Okay, well, I would say, and like I said, jump in, but if there's 270 million people, aren't 200 in the age to vote?
Sure.
Or maybe more? I mean, is there a couple hundred potential million people vote in this country? I'd say that's a safe assumption. Now, what percentage of those people vote? You know that?
Yeah, in 1996, the overall percentage was 54%.
Of registered voters?
Of eligible voters.
Of people of voting age.
Voting
not
age.
Necessarily just registered.
Right.
So what we're talking about is, did you say, what year was that?
That was 1996, the last presidential election.
So we're talking about maybe 100 million, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough?
Well, they were disproportionately old people.
All right, but you're smarter when you're older. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 30.
Yeah.
Pretty damn smart.
All right. What was running through your head at 19?
Not voting.
Yeah, you're playing hacky sack and and
right.
You didn't, your vote wasn't worth ass back then.
Yeah.
Now you're smart.
Right.
See, that's my point. Why do we want you at 19 voting? And you're a smart one.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, no, but I mean the problem is that baby boomers aren't voting at particularly high numbers either. And so what's going to happen is that voting is an act that you learn from your parents. So it's looked at as also a generational issue. It's
right.
Not that they're suddenly going to grow into it. They've become so disillusioned with the political process that potentially the 18 to 24 year olds that aren't voting today are going to be the 38 to 44 year olds.
There's one issue going on.
Yeah.
Legalization of pot.
That's
all
a huge
of a sudden, everyone would vote.
Yeah.
All 100% of 18 to 30 year olds would vote on that one.
Right.
I think that would mobilize the older people too.
Yeah.
I don't think people are disillusioned with the political process. I mean, I think that's kind of a cop out. I think people are so goddamn narcissistic now, and every 19 year old thinks he owns the goddamn world that he thinks, screw it, I'm not doing anything. I mean, I'm not gonna. I don't think a lot of these kids would enlist if we had a big war, like World War II. And I don't think a lot of them are interested in the process, not because they're disillusioned, but just because they're worried about their own ass and not about the country.
No, but I think most people are worried about their own ass. I think most people, I mean, that's how most people vote, but because people are worried about their own ass and the fact that the candidates are talking about issues that are irrelevant to young people, they don't see their own asses in the political process.
Right.
If you could actually, you know, even if it was just talking about, you know, college, you know, money for college and in a way that was relevant to young people, as opposed to Gore talking about, you know, tax breaks for middle-class parents,
right.
You know, where maybe, you know, how do you talk about it in a way that's appealing to the college student that's actually putting themselves through school or the kid who doesn't even think they can afford to go to school in the first place?
Right. All right. And, yeah, I guess all this Medicare and Medicaid and prescription drug stuff is not appealing. But on the other hand, like I said, when you're 19 and you're in college, what do you care? I mean, what do you need it? You're not paying taxes. You're not getting prescription drugs. You're not getting Medicaid. You're not worried about Social Security. Why should you vote?
Because you want to be able to go to school because you don't want to get shot in your...
You're going to school.
Well, not all of the people that are between 18 and 24 are actually in college, Adam.
Good. Let me explain something.
Okay, please explain.
This college thing is a bar. Do you understand? That gets set. So, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, when 10% of the country went to college, those were the 10% that were able to move forward in life.
Mm-hmm.
If you raise that to 80%, it will all be relative. Now it'll be 80%. Now you'll have to move the bar higher, and those people have to get masters and then doctorates. You understand?
I think that's happening now.
It doesn't mean anything to have a four-year degree anymore.
No.
So who cares? Now we got a bunch of people that say they got a four-year degree and they can go to work for their cousin's sofa factory back in Muncie.
Okay.
Fantastic.
You've convinced me. I'm crazy.
And, by the way, I'm perfectly fine with this. We need a certain percentage of society that are plumbers, that are electricians, that are street sweepers, that are garbage collectors.
And those folks probably vote.
Fine. Let them vote and let them. I don't want them going to college is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't want stupid people going to college.
Okay.
I don't want to force everyone to go to college.
No.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't want to force them to vote either.
Okay.
I would rather a very small minority vote who are very well informed than a majority of people who are sort of fuzzy on the issues.
Yeah, but it's not the what is the breakdown between who votes and who doesn't vote is not that they're the well-informed and the uninformed. It's, you know, the whole thing that you're talking about before where it's the white male landowners. That's pretty much
right.
Where we're heading
well,
at this point.
Yeah, we're doing fine, though.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look at these other countries.
What other countries?
They all suck.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All other countries?
All other countries.
Oh, yeah. Well, please, take a good look at them. Look around. This is the best country in the world.
Have you ever been anywhere else?
I know.
Well, I told you I was in Tijuana.
Right.
That's all I need to see. I've been to Canada. Canada's all right.
Okay.
I can see going to Canada.
It was young voters in Mexico that changed, you know, the end of the 70-year reign.
Yeah.
I mean, it did. I mean, it was young voters.
Right. It'll be a paradise over there in just a few short weeks.
Right.
I'm sure.
When are we going to get the marijuana issue dealt with?
When are we going to get the marijuana? When George Soros gives some more money to George Soros says.
He threw money at... What's his latest thing?
He's been funding all sorts of legalization.
He's the Prop 36, the
yeah.
the treatment for drug addicts.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the bouncer guy.
No, or maybe it's 39. The one that's allocating millions, hundreds of millions to treatment as opposed to penitentiary.
Yeah, I'm all for that. And I'm for the school voucher thing, too. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
All right. Anderson, what are you giving that look for? Anderson's not for it. Listen, I went to public school. There's nothing going on over there. You might as well just let it. I'd rather let an ostrich teach my kid than send him to public school. I went there. You might as well go to prison.
See, it's the vouchers will create more competition, you think?
I want competition.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
These teachers, they sit around, they want everyone to kiss their ass, please. I don't buy it for a second. They got a strong union. I don't like that. Let's create a little competition. Let them go to school. Let them pay for it. And then let Drew over here get a tax break. He's got three kids. He's got little Lord Fauntleroy, little Fauntleroy the second, little Lord Fauntleroy the third, all going to a private school and he doesn't get a break. Why not? How much does it cost to send a kid to public school? Whatever it is, $5,000, $10,000 a year? You're not utilizing that. That's how much you should get off your taxes.
Well, that's what the voucher thing is about.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
And all these people that do this thing where they go, oh, this tax benefit's only going to help the very top 10% of taxpayers. Good! That's who's paying all the taxes, you idiots. Of course it should help them. Please. Marie?
Hello.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Basically, I had, a two-part question. Technically, at what point are you not considered a virgin?
At the point at which a penis enters your vagina at all.
Well, or after you go camping.
That's what it happens at camping.
Right, you get raped when you go camping.
Well, I was asking because my half-brother, while I was sleeping, he came in my room. Well, I guess it was really his room because I was visiting. And I wouldn't call it rape, really, because he just went in for a second. And then, pulled out, after a second, I guess.
Sure. I did that. It was an exploratory sex thing. I did that to my sister, too. That's a rite of passage. What's up with that family of yours?
I wish I knew.
How old is he?
He's 16. Well, he's 15, actually.
What are you doing staying over there? Where do you normally stay?
Visiting my dad.
Visiting your dad?
Uh-huh.
Have you been raped otherwise or before?
No, not raped.
But what? Sexual abuse?
Other stuff, yeah.
Like what?
Just stuff.
Hold on, let me write this down.
Stuff?
S-T-U-F.
Two
Fs?
Yeah, two
Fs.
Okay. Well, that's clear.
All right, well, now we can make a diagnosis based on the stuff. Hey, listen, come clean with us. What's going on? We're asking these questions. We're trying to get to the bottom of this. Trying to figure out what we can do.
Why you let your half-brother lie down next to you and rape you, and now you're thinking, did anything happen to me? That means something awful has happened to you before.
What was the stuff?
And who did it?
Where's my finger?
Cousin.
Your cousin did it.
A friend's cousin.
A friend's cousin. How old were you?
10.
How old was the cousin or the friend's cousin?
15.
Okay. So you live with your mom now, right?
And my stepdad. Mm-hmm.
And your stepdad. And you went back to visit your biological dad and his new wife?
She's kind of... Well, I don't know if she's new, but...
All right. Hold on. Hang on, Murray. I'll put you on hold until the Quaaludes wear off. Well, it's not new.
No, it's kind of the stepmom, kind of the stepwife.
All right. Really. Listen, I feel bad for what's going on in your life, but we're trying to do a radio show here. You have to answer our questions, and that goes for everyone. I don't care what your plight is. I don't care what's been done to you. You have to answer the questions. You have to do it in a semi-timely fashion, like today or early tomorrow. First thing tomorrow. I'll accept that. Forget that. All right, Marie, hang on. We'll get back to you. I'm just going to let you adjust yourself a little bit. John?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend's driving me crazy because I lost my sex drive. I take Prozac.
There you go. That's what Prozac does.
What's the best one to take besides that?
To not do that? What are you taking the Prozac for?
OCD.
Well, unfortunately, the drugs that are powerful enough to be effective for OCD tend to have very intense reuptake inhibition of serotonin, and that's what causes this depression of libido and sex drive. And so the Prozac and the Luvox and those drugs, which are work for OCD, will suppress the sex drive, while the Cerazone, Remeron, Wellbutrin are really different classes of medicine that won't be as good for your OCD. They're good antidepressants, and they don't suppress sex drive, but they probably won't do much for OCD.
I wish I had a little of that OCD. Just a hint.
There's one called...
Just enough to get the gym socks off of the floor for the eighth week in a row, you know?
There's one
stepping over stuff.
We used to use called clomipramine. You might talk to your doctor about it. There was a little less likely to do this kind of thing.
All right.
It's not as effective as Prozac.
Write that down.
Yeah, right.
With one of the hairs you pull that.
Clomipramine.
Clomipramine.
All right.
Jesus Christ. It's like half this stuff is like your trunk. And I need some clomipramine and some Remeron. It's like these are drunken gibberish words. They're not real words. Sure. Remeron? Who decides on that? When is that vote going on? Then somebody raise their hand and go, "Hey, Phil, Earth to Phil, Remeron cannot be pronounced. Let's come up with something else. This is called Class X, sir." Or make another word for end it with an X.
What I love is they make up the generic name. They make up the generic name and then they make up the trade name.
Right. It's based on something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just make it easy to understand. Please. Who are you guys trying to outsmart? I know there's a whole whole psychological thing.
And but the psychological stuff is sort of dependent on that moment. Like there are letters that are the power letters of the moment, Z and X.
Right.
Everything was Z, everything was Celebrex.
Right.
Paxil.
Right.
Alexa.
Yeah, skip some Lifetron.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, there are all these upbeat things.
Now they've got stuff for women. Femheart. And they've got, like, Happy Fam, which is basically Prozac. I forget what it's called. It's for PMDD, premenopausal, premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Right.
And it's just like Happy Fam. I forget the name. I'll have to look it up. But
yeah, the boys at Disney came up with
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
One. All right, let's talk to Marie real quick again. No, hold on. Hold on. Marie?
Yes.
All right, have you gotten yourself together?
Yeah, I was nervous, sorry.
That's all right. Listen, so your half-brother sort of had sex with you.
Uh-huh.
Right, but we're not interested in whether you're technically a virgin or not. Let's just say you are a virgin.
Okay.
Although, what happened with when you were 10?
The cousin, yeah.
Okay, what was the friend's cousin?
And what happened then?
He was smothering me while he fingered me, basically.
Nice. All right. Do you really hate men by now, by the way? It's okay if you do. I'd like it if you would.
No.
You don't?
Oh,
no. Okay. Don't have any kids, please. Yeah?
Not till you're 32.
Not planning on it.
Good. Can you get a little therapy?
I don't think so.
No, you got a family with a lot of chaos. You've been abused by a stepbrother, abused by a cousin.
I'm going to send you out a rape calendar, right? So you can work it out. About every ninth month, you'll get raped then?
Well.
You want to do that? You want the rape calendar or you want to get some therapy?
You need help, Marie.
I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for what, the hand that life has dealt you. But now you're almost an adult and you have to take care of yourself because your family's not going to take care of you.
You're going to keep playing the victim.
And you're going to get in trouble.
People oblige you that.
Not that these people aren't criminals and horrible people, but here's the problem. The world is full of these people. And the idea that you're going to count on them not to do anything is not a good way to do it. It's better that you work on yourself. You understand?
Okay, so I'm technically not a virgin.
Okay. Well, okay, Marie?
Marie, focus on that. That's what's important right now.
Marie?
Well, I know.
Marie, call back after you're raped again. All right?
Well, I don't know. I guess I can figure out what to do about it because I'm going to have to visit him again.
I think you should tell your dad about this guy.
I think you should tell the police or the Department of Social Services.
And you
should not be alone with him ever. And you need some treatment. You need some help.
Can you do that?
Okay.
Is your dad a horrible guy?
He's nice.
He's nice?
Uh-huh.
Do you get along with him?
Yeah.
Then tell
him. Okay, then talk to him. And tell him what happened and tell him you need some help. You got to get some counseling.
Yeah, but he also has a wife who I don't really want
to. I know. Well, that's why you tell him. Don't tell her. Okay?
Okay.
All right, guys. Take care of yourself. All right.
Please.
I'm going to therapist around myself.
Bring your book, your biography with you?
I read three pages tonight. So far, no pictures, by the way. Drew gave me a biography on Teddy Roosevelt. Turns out his dad was Teddy Roosevelt, too. Mm-hmm. He's the second. Mm-hmm. Learned that. And
Sickly child.
Everyone was sickly. Oh, I hope my kid almost dies. You know, like preemie, weighs 3 ounces, almost died at birth. Has all sorts of congenital problems, because then later on in life they'll kill a bear with their own hands.
They'll compensate.
Yeah, they go from 3 ounces and in an incubator to killing a mountain lion at 13. That's what happens. It's the ones that start off healthy I don't trust. All right, we'll take a little break. Allison Burnfield is here. We'll talk a little more politics, because I know that's what your kids want to hear after this. Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Sparrow. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Thank you. Allison Burnfield is here tonight from Rock the Vote, an organization that was started up by a musician so they can make more drug money in the early 90s, and has now turned into a huge campaign. And, MTV, I saw it originally on MTV, and then they got the Choose or Lose. And I wish MTV would vote to pay their employees more. That'd be a good vote. I'd like to cast my vote for that. Tell us, Allison, about what the plan is.
The plan for how to get.
Well, I mean, if in a sense you're here to plug something in
I
a
guess
sense,
that, yeah.
And here's your time to shine.
Here's
girl.
My turn to plug.
Right.
Well, we're trying to do two things. One is to because of the fact that when candidates talk are out there campaigning, they're not really talking about issues from the perspective of a young person.
Right.
We're trying to help young people right. make the connection between the issue that they care about and their capacity to affect it.
More bongs and Pokemon.
Yeah.
Would that be something that kids
that's,
are used
that's
to?
What they're, that's what they're trying
right.
to get done. And then we're also trying to let them know that in terms of their numbers and the fact that the majority of them are identifying as independents, that they have the capacity to decide this election.
The majority of the group that you're going after are,
oh, I like that.
Are identified as independents.
We need a new party.
I like
yeah.
that. Yeah, I was saying...
Oh, I heard you're a third party fan.
I am.
Both are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that I like the third party. It's that I don't like the first two.
Right.
I believe they're just becoming... They're just bought and sold, you know, all this software and all this stuff. It's ridiculous.
There was a survey that was done by Newsweek that says that 64% of 18 to 21-year-olds are looking for a viable third party. It's going to happen.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And
it's
going to
be the marijuana party. Whoever steps up and said, we're going to... Because I know that if somebody says, I'm going to legalize marijuana by going to the White House, they're going to the White House.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think Be Real from Cypress Hill may win that,
okay.
that election. Here's what I want to say. Someone said to me the other day, listen, if you don't vote for Bush or Gore, you're throwing your vote away. And I said, no, I'm not. Because first off, if I vote for either one of those guys, I'm throwing my vote away anyway, because what's one goddamn vote? And number two, if people had done this in the last election, in the election before that, it wouldn't have been throwing their vote away. If you vote for a third party, you're not throwing your vote away. You're giving that
you're
third
building.
Party momentum. You're building a foundation. And in a few short years, it'll be time to vote again. And instead of 12%, it will be 22% mm-hmm. or whatever the figures are. So you're not throwing your vote away. You're part of a building process.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, particularly those folks that are in states where they're, I mean, like a state like California, where most likely it will go to Gore just because of the strong base of Democrats. Folks can make, you know, the vote for Nader and help him in 4 years from now get the federal matching funds. All they have to do is get 5% of the vote, and you know, in 4 years from now, they will get money from the federal government to run their campaigns, and they'll be able to be, you know, more on level ground.
Yeah, not, I don't think they're any good either, but what I want is competition. That's
yeah.
what I want. And to me, Democrats, Republicans, they're all becoming, they're meeting in the center, and they're all becoming one big sort of washed out mishmash of a party.
Mm-hmm.
I want some ass kicking in there. I want a nice atheist who's got a degree in psychology and sociology to come in there and just straighten this damn planet out. We can do it. Just do what makes sense. That's all. This whole drug war, it's an easy answer to all this. All the stuff that isn't working. Easy answers, everybody. Please, get not $10 billion from this company and $1 billion from that company. You think that doesn't... Of course! What are these companies in the business of? Hold on a second, I'm mad. You know what companies do? You know what they do? They make money. That's what they do, and they don't throw away money. And sometimes they invest money, they give away money, so they can make more money later on. They buy a fleet of vans that cost them a couple $1 million, but don't worry, they're going to get that money back over the next few years. They give money to a candidate, they lose a little, but don't worry, they'll be getting it back. And if they didn't get it back, they wouldn't give it, and it wouldn't have gone on for all these years. And obviously, this is what they do. It's so transparent. I don't understand it. It's like psychology 101 or business 101. We'll take a little break. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. He's Adam. We're here at Rock the Boat.
Yes. That's good radio. Man. You may have just gotten a new job. I may bump your duties up to 20%. What do you think? You think you're ready, man?
You were ready for me to miss that beat, too. You're like,
I have so much difficulty squeezing that in every night that I'm sort of, well, I'm happy for the show, but I'm sad in a way that it worked out because it really makes me seem even worse than I actually am. Allison Burnfield is here tonight from Rock the Vote, talking a little bit of politics, and also Carrotop in here tomorrow night, and then the Insane Clown Posse on Wednesday night. All right, so Allison, what, I don't know, why do we have to register to vote?
You didn't always have to register to vote. It was something that was created as an obstacle to voting.
Yeah, seems like it.
Yeah.
It seems like one more hurdle.
No, it's definitely. And it's, I mean, we, you know, the deadlines for most states, Pat, you know, were the first week in October, and now I'm getting all these panicked emails from people, you know, across the United States who are like, I didn't register. What do I do?
The people that are for registration, what is their argument? Because it seems to me that if you went and you presented your driver's license or whatever proper identification you needed to do with, you know, your home address on it. You went to the voting, what do they call it?
The polls.
The poll that was designated for your area that it could be pretty easy to take care of. Why do we have to have that extra step, and what do they say about it?
They're going to have computer voting soon, right?
Yeah, well, in California right now, they actually have, you know, for like 21
trial.
Yeah,
trial.
It's one of those, like, touch screens.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, what is their argument for registration?
Well, I mean, they bring up issues like fraud and privacy, and it makes people very nervous, and so we continue to support it. But, I mean, there are, in North Dakota, there's no registration, and there are four states that have same-day registration.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, Wyoming, Wisconsin, and
your favorite state.
Yeah, Minnesota.
I can't think of the last one. New Hampshire. But it's one of the it's why Jesse Ventura was elected. It's one of the reasons why Jesse.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah, he's a genius.
No, I'm but you
on
got
television, the Man Show.
Oh, yes, he's a big fan of the Man Show. He's a genius, that Jesse Ventura. But why not? What? So in California, it's like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, the deadline was back in October 10th. Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't.
No, it's
doesn't make sense. Especially out here where people are sort of caught up in their own crap and busy.
Yeah. No, we do online voter registration. One of the ways to kind of bring it to people as opposed to making them try to hunt down, you know, the form. But it's really, I mean, all you're doing is you're filling out a form, saying what your, you know, your address is, and then signing it and sending it in, and it doesn't really seem like it makes sense to do it.
It really just does seem like, I know people are fairly apathetic in general, and people are that procrastinate, and it seems like something you'd have to say. It doesn't seem like it seems like it would work against the age group and the demographic that you're looking to get to vote.
Right. No, and you've got to, like, it's things like people don't know that every time you move, even if it's down the street, you need to re-register. If you get married, you have to re-register, and you know, it's complicated.
Right. All right. Let's talk to Everett. Everett.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Hey, you're 25.
Not with the marijuana.
Yeah, he wants to legalize pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smoke a lot of weed, Everett?
No, I've been sober for about 3.5 years.
Oh,
really?
Congratulations.
No, it's not working.
Yeah, man, I love your show. I listen whenever I can.
Thank you.
Adam, your voice sounds more nasally on the telephone than it does in my car.
Thank you.
My home stereo.
You know, man grows up with a disability known as a deviated septum and is punished throughout his career, ridiculed and made fun of. Go ahead, Everett.
All right, so I guess I have two questions, and they're both for Allison. I'm 25. I never voted. I live in California. I haven't registered. I'm wondering what's the direct effect on my life for me not voting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For all of your kind not voting.
Exactly.
What,
you know,
you don't feel the crunch now, but eventually when your folks kick you out of the house, you know, it may have some effect. You start working and paying taxes and things like that.
No, but see, I work, I pay taxes, I don't even care, you know, I don't watch the news, you know,
right.
what is it going to do for me?
Allison, you convince someone like Everett, this is a majority of our callers and listeners, by the way.
Right.
Why should these people vote?
Well, not voting, you've given up the one thing that candidates and politicians actually listen to, which is a vote. I mean, you have just handed over the decisions that you want to make about your life to somebody else that is probably not like you, that doesn't care about the things that you care about. You've just given it up, that's all. I mean, I'm trying to think of something that potentially will matter to you.
If they raise
the drinking age to 20, how old are you, 23?
25. But you listen
to... He'd like to see the price of Yoo-Hoo come down,
right.
I believe.
You listen to these candidates speak, and I'm sure that it sounds like they're speaking to Martians, these folks.
Yeah.
And it's not clear that they're ever going to change and
no.
address issues that are realistic.
Well, I think
I think what's going to mobilize is people have another party.
Right.
Goes directly after issues that grows out of a groundswell of concern of theirs and just go at it.
I think that things are going to change when the World War II generation dies.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are voting. So, if you listen to the second debate, it was like you would think that everybody in this country was 65 and older.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yes. But I really think that that party is going to modify these guys. Going to mobilize these guys.
No, definitely.
Listen, I don't share your disdain for the folks that saved us from World War II. I think those people
are
heroes.
They're fine people.
I really do, and I think they should get whatever they want. They really do.
No, they're fine people, and they show up at the polls, so people should listen to them, but they don't make up the same numbers that young people do.
No, but obviously, whoever the candidate is, he's going to speak to whoever's voting.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
That's your point.
Yeah, I mean, strategists are out there saying you have the goal of getting into office. Who are you going to reach out to? You're going to reach out to the people that vote. Why would you bother spending time talking to a bunch of people who sit on their butt?
Right.
Just, you know, it makes sense.
Dave?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I want to say that dude, hermaphrodite guy.
Yeah.
That guy has always been gay, always will be gay, and just needed someone to confirm it.
Which guy?
Okay.
Hermaphrodite guy? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Okay, my question is...
Wait, you got a bird over there?
Yeah.
Listen, if I get elected, I outlaw birds.
I hate these birds.
Oh, my God. Here's what a bird's good for. All bird does is crap and make noise. That's it. It's like with a battery that never wears out. Just cramps and makes noise. And then, once in a blue moon, you try to get out of its cage, put your hand in there, and try to take your finger off. There was this bird. Let me tell you a quick bird story. When I worked at this boxing gym, they had a big macaw.
Oh.
Macaw's like a parrot, but it's blue and it's yellow and
red.
It's bigger and it's meaner. And birds are generally mean, by the way. They're not friendly animals. They don't like to cuddle, birds don't. They like one person, that's their owner, and they don't even like them. Everyone else gets bitten. This macaw would get down off... The guy would let the macaw run around the gym. I would get into the boxing ring and work with somebody. I had a plastic stopwatch, digital stopwatch, that I used to use to time the rounds and time whatever it is I was doing with whatever student I was working with. I would set it on top of the turnbuckle in one of the corners, one of those padded corners, okay? It's hard to think. The macaw would walk over from its cage, walk all the way across the gym, and would come to the ring that we were in. It would then get itself onto the canvas on top of the ring. It was about 2 feet off the ground. And it was really funny because the macaw could make its way all the way up to the top rope of the rings around the rope. It couldn't do it in the corner, but if it got right to the center, they sagged just enough. It would reach up with its beak and it would grab the little vinyl sleeve that went around the rope, and it would pull itself up, and it would keep doing it consecutively until it got to the top rung. Then it would walk around the thing until it got to where my stopwatch was. It would put its beak in the middle of my stopwatch where the glass was and crush it. And then it would let this blood-curdling scream out. Like, every once in a while, just I don't know if anyone's ever heard a bird when it goes, but these things, they're meant to travel all the way through the rainforest, from one end of South America to the next. And you're just sitting there, there's nothing going on. Like, woo! It just like, scream, and then nothing for an hour. And then for no reason, woo! It's just like, whale, you just jump out of your skin. So I had this game with this bird, which is I would put the thing on there, and I'd be working with whoever I was working with, and I would see it. It would come up the rope, and it'd be on the rope, and I'd go, okay, it's got to go all the way around before it gets to the stopwatch, so let's keep working. I keep working, but inevitably I would forget about it, turn my back, and I'd hear the crunch of my stopwatch. So I started bringing the two that the thing crunched and using as decoys. Take the two and I'd put it on the other turnbuckle, and then the thing would crunch those, but he'd still get around to my other one. Birds are evil. I think that's what we've learned from this.
That's a good
one. Yeah. Who are we talking about? Oh, Eric? Yeah. Eric? Are you the guy with the bird? Hey.
Do I like birds?
Yeah. You got. Hey, are we talking to Eric? Who are we talking to?
This is Eric.
No,
we're talking to Dave. We're talking to Dave. That's right. Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my bird story. Go ahead.
All right, dude. Thank you for triggering that.
Thanks. Okay, my question is at what point in the female's gestational period can you have penile-vaginal sex without the fear of conception?
Penile-vaginal?
Gestational period means you have a pregnancy growing.
Or the menstrual cycle, excuse me.
Yeah. There's really only 24 hours when they are, in fact, able to get pregnant.
That's prime ovulation?
That's one day after ovulation.
Right.
After ovulating.
Yeah.
Right.
And although you can get her pregnant you can have sex within 3 days of that and still get her pregnant.
Okay, because like a long time ago, like in the 70s or something, there was a thing where the couples went in and did a thing and they calculated her period and they could figure out the days that they could have sex without the fear of getting her pregnant.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what that is all about.
That's the timing method, and it's very unreliable.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what's that bird's name?
I have no idea.
Okay, just living in the house sort of randomly?
They're my mom's. They're cocktails, and I'm going to kill them.
Yeah. Hey, feed them some rat poison or something, would you?
Okay.
So the point is, how can you tell when that woman has ovulated, Dave?
Say again?
How can you tell when that one day has occurred, when she's ovulated?
I don't know. How can you do that?
Well, you really can't.
That's our point.
You can't.
Oh, okay.
Smiling.
All right, easy there, Dave. All right, don't get your girlfriend pregnant.
I won't.
All right, put a pillowcase over that bird cage so they shut up.
I'll just put a pillowcase over its head.
That's right. Now, as a matter of fact, use a hefty bag and tie it up at the bottom with some duct tape.
Swing around, hit the wall?
No, just let them slowly die.
Oh.
Just asphyxiate. I don't like birds. They're worthless.
Asshole.
They really are. Eric?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You're 17. What's up?
Hey, after my girlfriend gives me a blowjob, I go to take a pee, and it starts to sting, and it'll continue to sting for like another 2 to 2 minutes.
Right. Well, that's some sort of urethral irritation.
Really?
And that can be mechanical, maybe the way what she's doing could be infection.
I don't know. STD, I don't know. She told me she doesn't have any, but I...
Not necessarily an STD. There's other bacteria that can cause these things. And
really?
Again, it's just some sort of irritation that is being caused by the encounter. It doesn't mean it's an STD necessarily.
Well, should he play it safe and get himself checked out?
Yeah, of course. But it's a common complaint, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything from oral sex. If you had that from vaginal, of course... Is that what you said, oral sex? Yeah.
It's a common complaint from oral sex?
But from vaginal, of course, it would be more indicative of STD.
Yeah. Let me explain something. The word complaint and oral sex, never in the same sentence. Right?
Yeah, no, I understand.
Never been in the same sentence. Not even in the same
room. I wonder why you look confused and startled.
If I'm talking about oral sex and the word complaint comes to my head, I go out in the car and say it. And I come back into the room. And I won't say it in the same room with oral sex. You understand?
I saw you react.
Call me superstitious. That's right. Oh, man, I got another good birth story. Chris?
Oh, there we are.
It's good. It's good, yeah. And it's not Rock the Vote. It's the show. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's us. We have at least a couple of sleeping callers tonight. Yeah. No higher compliment than be paid to a host.
Oh, look at that.
30% of the callers sleeping. Jesus Christ. can't really snore. It's great.
Is this person giving you a dirty phone call?
No.
She's trying.
She's sleeping.
His uncle. He's a he. Guys don't snore. The girls don't snore like
thin,
that.
It's a thin he. Most of our callers give a good...
deep-throated kind of like...
Yeah, really good comedy breathing.
Fat right. People hear it on the way in. Skinny people's on the way out. Fat people's the way in. You know, and the skinny guy's the way out.
So Chris is skinny. So when he wakes up, we'll find out what the way it is. Time.
You want to guess on Chris's way? Here's the deal. We could all guess on it. You know what? He wouldn't know it.
120.
Really?
Small guy.
147.
Let's get some money in here. Box says 120.
Chris?
No, he's asleep.
Wait.
No,
Chris?
No. Let's work a weight range for Chris.
Okay.
You go 120 to one what?
I'm saying pre-puberty. The late puberty guy. Your males of puberty is the honk.
Right. So you say what? 120 to 130?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Allison, you want to take, what do you think?
147.
147?
Yes.
You don't want to range?
147 or 150.
You're very cocky.
I'm very cocky.
She's playing the odds.
Yeah.
All right.
Bring on.
I'll go between one, Christ, that's tough. That 140 to, you can't have 17 pounds. I'll give you 10 pounds. 147 to 157?
No, 147 to 150.
Oh, you just taking that 3 pounds?
Very small range.
She's very cocky.
I'm very cocky.
I'll go 150 to 160.
There you go.
Is that right?
Yeah, is it one of the things like Price is Right if you go over your
no.
Hour? Okay.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I don't like that rule. Just whoever's closest wins.
All right. He was there.
No, he's not there.
Yeah. Chris?
Damn it, how much do you weigh?
All right, let's put him back on hold. We can check in. It's always fun to hear him snoring anyway. You really have to be secure as a host if you're checking back with someone who's snoring during a show. There it is. All right, let's talk to Valerie. Valerie?
Hi.
Hey, Perky.
She's not asleep.
You're 29. What's up?
I had a question about an incident that happened a couple years ago. My husband was performing oral sex on me. It was a long time, but I kind of went into like this weird state where I lost control of my hands. They like went in a really strange.
They cramped up.
Yeah, and my one side of my mouth kind of like resembled. Well, he said it resembled like a stroke. Victim.
Mm.
Like,
you probably were hyperventilating.
Really?
Yeah.
My breathing seemed to be fine. I mean, it felt amazing.
Yeah.
Nothing ever came close to it, but...
Yeah, hyperventilating.
Okay.
And that will cause your hands and feet to cramp and mouth to become numb, and you can do that.
Yeah, you don't do stuff you normally would do. I mean, what I'm saying is you blink a certain amount an hour, you swallow a certain amount an hour, you move a certain amount an hour, and when you're having sex, all that takes a back seat to whatever's going on.
That was a long time.
If I got a nickel for every cat cramp I've had,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's another interesting difference between men and women. If a guy...
That's alone.
I understand.
Yeah.
If a guy got that ultimate place,
right.
Every time would have to be there. She's like, well, I think, it was amazing, and then went off my life. You know that?
Yes.
It was a little scary.
Yes, too much.
That is going to kill you. They sucked all the life out of you.
Well, I lasted a while, so I didn't know if I went there again, if I would ever come back.
I see.
If that were you, Adam, would there be any chance you'd hold back?
No.
No. If it meant certain death.
I'd like to just watch you go there. Forget about me. No, you know what I think it is? I think women, with their orgasms, is first off, it's like climbing Mount Everest, a lot of these women. So they got to plan it out, get their oxygen ready, pack the dry food. And it's like, it's a hell of a journey. It's not something you take lightly. But this orgasm is like a big mountain they got to climb. For a guy, I think it's the equivalent of a guy going for like number two or number three in a short period of time.
What is? They're going for number one?
A lot of women.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Okay, Drew. Don't close your eyes, but you're very passionate, man. Very passionate. As you know, I've said that many times on the show, right? Very passionate, man. And you know that when you, as a man, when you're going for whatever your threshold is,
right?
When you're going for number two, number three, I don't know, maybe you're in high school and you're going for number five, whatever it is, but when you're going for the next one past the one that you may have trouble getting to,
right?
It's kind of hit and miss, and
right.
It's like... Your mind races a little bit, and one minute you're dead, you're into it like 100%, the next minute you're going, I don't know if I can pull this off, and the next minute you're going, we got to do it.
Right.
It's really something that goes on. I mean, it's really a deep psychological thing.
So basically you're saying a female is like a depleted male.
A lot of them are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
You don't know what I'm saying. No, as a guy, and I don't know this sexually, I know from a masturbatory standpoint, there's times when I had a little booze in me, you know, and it's like 3 a.m, and, you know, I just did like an 8-ball of coke, and I got some... You know, did some mushrooms, and I've done a little speedball or something like that, and I've snorted no dose or something. And it's like 4 a.m, I'm thinking, I should really go to bed. But then I think, I'm going for one more. Oh, yes, here we go. And then I think, no. And my scrotum goes, no way. No, we're going to bed. Oh, no, you're not. Come on, boy.
Are you right? No.
And I'm like Vince Lombardi in the locker room talking to my genitalia. One more, boys. You gotta dig deep now. This is the fourth quarter. And my nuts are going, no. You're drunk. You're tired. You whacked off 20 minutes ago. You're going to bed. I go, no. I'm going for it. I'm going. And then once, I'm going. I'm going to climb those stairs at the foot of the monument in Philadelphia. So I dig deep. And I focus. And it's the eye of the tiger. I know I'm mixing songs up here, but to really focus.
It's all like, 70s.
Okay, listen.
It's all Rocky. Yeah.
Right. I got to shut the TV off. I got to draw the curtains. Anything shiny, I got to turn it over or put a pillow over it. I really got to dig deep. And I say, move some furniture out of the way, spread that paper towel out, and really, really dig in and get going. And then you break once in a while. Like, no, I can't make it. You get halfway in there. I can't do it. No more. No. Yes. Yes, you go deeper. That's what I think it's like for a woman. I really do. Because, you know, a woman will be right at the brink of an orgasm. Be like, forget it. No, it's not going to work. And you're like, huh? What happened? I was right there. I was on the doorstep. I was on the threshold. And I'm like, yeah? Yeah, forget it.
What?
Wait a minute. You're right there. Yeah, no, it's not going to work. Forget it. We'll try it tomorrow.
What?
How did you get right there? Yeah, I was right there. I'm sorry about it. No, forget it. Yeah, that's a chick thing. But a guy can get into that if he's going for the hat trick. That's what I'm saying.
The trifecta.
So now I know what it feels like to be a woman fighter.
Okay.
I will take a little break. Allison Burnfield is here from Rock the Vote. Did you enjoy that story more than the Paris story?
That was a great story.
A story of inspiration, right?
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, hello. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Allison Burnfield is our guest tonight. She's from Rock the Vote. And Carrot Top will be in here tomorrow night and then Insane Clown Posse. And we're just talking a little politics. And, I really think the problem with the parties is the party.
It's partisanship.
Yeah. What it is you affiliate yourself with a group that has 50 good ideas and 50 bad ideas, and you have to stand behind them. So, it's great when they're talking about the 50 good ideas, but when they're talking about the 50 horrible ideas, you still stand behind them and defend them. And I think politics should be, I'd like to start a group where it was like a Jim Rummy hand. Let's just take all the good ideas and discard all the crappy ones. So all right, I'm done. I'm done helping the kids. I really am.
No bird story?
Yeah, you had a bird story.
Okay, where I live... They're these,
I don't mean to encourage you.
Red tail hawks.
Oh yeah.
They glide. Okay, nothing better for your mind than staring at a hawk that's just on some kind of up current, just circling a canyon.
Yeah.
It's great. They're the world's laziest birds. They never flap their wings. They just get up in the air and they just ride that current, making these big wide.
I never
circles.
Understood why they were called red tail hawks until I saw one the other day looking down in a canyon. They have a bright red tail when you look down from the top.
They're really red.
You never see them from the top. You see them from underneath.
They're beautiful. Yeah. And they just float around up there. And I just stare at them and think, I wish that was me, except for probably get caught up in a power line or something. But anyway, one of them actually like pounced on a squirrel and had then carried it up to a telephone pole and was basically eating it on top of this telephone pole. And I was standing there going, this is great. Nature's great when you're from North Hollywood. It's like, oh, my God, nature, everybody. Something's going on. That's not some bum that's eating his own vomit. That's a bird.
Eating a squirrel.
This is great.
Did it do the thing where they drop it? Just kill it and then pick it up again?
I may have caught it after the drop.
Yeah.
And the squirrel didn't seem, you know, happy. Seemed like it was trying to get away and stuff, but there was that big hawk up there. Oh, that's a good-looking bird. That's right. I know why a lot of... I was looking at that hawk, and I was like, no wonder everyone names their sports team after that bird. And not so many squirrels. You know what I mean? These are... They're great. A big... Oh, big... Oh, just nice flying around. Man. Oh, Chris,
the... Oh, we need now. Chris?
Chris is still asleep. We have a bet on his weight. Drew, you got 120 to 130.
Yep.
Allison... A very cocky, brash, and bold move went 147 to 150, only leaving yourself a 3-pound window. And of course,
I get a bigger prize.
I went 50 to 160. You should.
Okay.
But you don't.
Oh,
all right. Chris, still asleep.
I think he's faking it.
No. We put him to sleep. End of the macaw story. All right, we'll check back with Chris so you can get to his weight. Joey?
Yeah.
You 21?
What's that?
Joey the girl?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Not much.
What do you want?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about my little experience the other night.
Great. Go right ahead.
Okay. We were at a party, and we were getting kind of messed up. And we started playing a card game to get us a little messed up, you know, beforehand.
Sure.
And then we decided to play Spin the Bottle.
Mm.
And it's kind of a dumb game, but we decided to do it.
Right.
And so after that...
Who's we?
What's that?
Who's we?
Me and about 5 of my friends.
Female friends.
What's that?
Female friends?
Female and male.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we played that for a while, and then all of a sudden we started getting down and dirty.
Right.
And we just had this massive orgy.
Really?
Yeah.
How many guys were in there?
What's that?
How many of them were guys?
Four.
Okay. You really got to think that three. Long? There's 5 people, you idiot. You don't know how many? Let's see. Wait a minute. There's 5. Let's see. There's
me.
And 5
others.
Is it there's Terry? Okay. There's 5 altogether, including you?
6.
No.
6, including you.
6, including me.
And 4 of them are guys?
3 of them are guys.
Okay. 3 girls, 3 guys.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well. Took 15 minutes to get to that, huh? Okay, so you all have an orgy.
Yes.
Is anyone boyfriend and girlfriend or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, there's one couple.
Not anymore.
Well, they're still together.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we're all comfortable with it, and we actually enjoyed it.
All right.
It's weird.
Yeah. Were you getting it on with the girls and stuff?
No, kind of.
Were you moving around from guy to guy?
Kind of, yeah.
Was there intercourse going on?
Yeah.
Nice.
Condoms?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Really?
Damn,
what good is a condom when you're putting it in about 5 different people, though?
It's good for the guys, but the girls still going to get exposed to each other's stuff.
Oh, all right. That's cool. That's fine. I see. I know. And so, Joey?
Yeah.
So, what's up? What's your question?
I was just wondering if you think it's weird that we enjoyed it and we want to do it again.
Oh,
you
got to do it again? Who is we?
All of my friends and me.
Well, what's in it for you?
I just doing the whole thing. It was a one-time experience, and I liked it. And all.
Well, all right, but let me ask: is there? You said you weren't with the women too much.
No, not too much. No.
Right. So it wasn't really then that you're. Is it that you're looking forward to?
No.
You're looking forward to the guys.
Well, it was more of more of the guys than the girls.
Is there
about your sister? Oh, and my sister was there as well.
Oh, by the way.
But what's going on with me and my sister? That's just not nice.
Yeah, but that's bizarre.
Who is that? Is that your sister?
That was my sister.
And your sister was one of the girls in there?
Yeah.
Here's what concerns us more than anything, Joey, is that you can't describe to us the scene with any accuracy. Couldn't tell us how many people were there, left out the fact that your sister was there.
Why? Do you think this is bogus?
No.
No.
She is... I don't believe it's bogus. I think it's real, but it's such a wonderful experience that she has to have all various levels of denial to even manage her feelings about it.
Yeah.
And I suspect this is part...
I need to talk to him.
Yeah.
I suspect this is part of addiction, frankly.
Put your sister on the phone. The one who got the personality.
I don't believe it. You don't believe us?
No, we believe you. Believe me, we know you two are crazy.
Okay, listen, I know I'm crazy too. I'm her sister.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
23. And now, was it weird having your sister there in a sexual situation?
Well, it's not like we were having sex together.
Yeah, I understand, but you were in the presence of one another having
genius.
Sex.
Genius. Remember how I worded that one? Having your sister there in a sexual situation?
Listen, let me tell you something. She's not my full sister, so it really didn't bother me any.
Oh, there you go. Listen, either one of you two geniuses have any kids?
No.
No?
We're all college students.
No.
We're like good citizens here. We all have jobs.
You're like junior college students, though, right?
Well, I didn't want to go.
Where you get that big clause? Listen, I can smell junior college a mile away.
Okay, listen. I know, but the question is that awkward?
Yes, hold on a second. Hey, junior college. I smell beef jerky, pot, and patchouli oil. yeah, that's junior college, all right. Ooh, some cigarettes?
Hacky sack.
And I smell hacky sack. wet hacky sack's been left out in the rain. Yeah, so I smell. That's junior college. All right, so listen, what's your name?
I'm Melissa.
Melissa, okay. So do you want to do this again, Melissa?
You know, I wouldn't mind it.
You wouldn't? And
no.
I'll ask again, though. Wasn't it strange having your sister someone you're that close to being so nearby during a sexual encounter?
And I'll tell you again, it wasn't.
No, you didn't say that. You said you didn't have sex with her.
I didn't. It wasn't weird having her in the same room when I was playing with boys. It was fun. I liked it, and that's that. It wasn't weird.
What other drugs do you do besides alcohol?
I don't do drugs.
At all?
No.
No history with that?
I did ecstasy once at a rave, and other than that, I've never done it.
But you do a little drinking, right?
Oh, well, hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Where's Daddy?
Where's my daddy?
Yeah.
He's home with my mommy.
How is she your half-sister?
Well, my dad, when my mom and dad first got married, he cheated on my mom. And that's where my sister Joey came in. And then my mom forgave him and whatnot, and so... I've been like living with my mom and dad. She lives with her mom, so.
This dad must be the alcoholic. That's where the gene's coming from.
Pardon me?
Is your dad an alcoholic?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, that's because he got the gene passed to both Joey and Melissa.
Ah, all right. Well, listen, hey, Melissa?
Yeah, buddy.
Have fun. I know you're a little angry.
I'm not angry.
You sound angry.
I'm really not. That's the weird part about it, is I'm not angry. I just think, I don't know, I kind of liked my experience.
I understand things that induce thrill and sort of extreme experiences are going to be very compelling for you because of the biological makeup, the genetic predisposition towards alcoholism. So these things that other people might find sort of uncomfortable, you're going to find as gratifying. But understand that it's all part of...
Oh, I'm crazy.
No, it's all part of how people with the gene for alcoholism manage feelings. And it tends to build in a direction that isn't healthy. So just be aware of that.
Well, do you like one of the guys, Melissa?
Actually, this is like a whole nother Geraldo, but I have my own boyfriend, and he's like a good Mormon boy, doesn't know anything about it. And so I like keep this away from him because I really want the stability with him, but I, you know.
Well, you're using him... As like an object, some sort of...
The thing that I can tell you that I know is that I thrive off chaos.
That's what I'm saying, thrill, Joey. Melissa, it's thrill, but not so much the chaos. The chaos is something that you're into, but the thing you really thrive on is the thrill.
Well, the chaos is a byproduct of the thrill, which is you go do something thrilling and then you get busted.
But the chaos is her internal emotional world is chaos, and that's who she is. All right. Person.
All right, well, listen, it's just do whatever you want. Just don't have any kids, right?
Hell no.
Good.
And also don't use people. You're using that boyfriend.
No. Who cares about him?
Huh?
You're going to dump him soon anyway because he's not an a-hole.
Because I'm an a-hole?
No, he's not an a-hole, so I figure you're going to dump him soon.
I'm kind of like chunky ass of my life.
All right. Hey.
I swear.
Listen, Melissa, why is it you don't have any kids? You're Joey.
Pardon me?
Because
we want to graduate college and we want to become somebody. And
really?
I don't think we could do that with children.
Oh, really? Okay. That's good. That's good thinking. I'm glad to hear that kind of thinking.
All of our friends, my sister and I, they all got knocked up in high school. And
right.
We were a bunch of losers, and so we just didn't want to be like that.
Right. Okay, good.
We wanted to be crazy in, I guess, sexual ways. I don't know.
No, just realize this is all about addiction. And keep your eyes open as this thing evolves. Just mark my words for it.
All right, but have fun meantime, and ask Joey if she likes any of the guys.
Joey.
That she's having sex with.
Any of the boys that we're, like, having fun with?
Yes, I did.
She does.
I get the feeling Joey probably liked to be with one of them alone rather than be in a group.
Right.
Yeah, well, she has her time to be alone with them, so it worked out well for her.
All right. Have fun at that reunion. Hey, easy on the booze, baby. It's going to take a while, so. All right?
I will.
All right.
Hey, you guys are awesome.
All right, listen, thank you. And have fun in junior college. Tell them I said hi over there. Listen, my grandmother gave me an earful about you. I got it. My grandmother keeps a list of stuff she wants to talk to me about from the show.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, my grandma keeps a list of stuff she disagrees with me about. And then when I go to lunch with her, she's like, she goes over the list. Junior college. I went to junior college. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I know. Your mother. Yep, that's right. Your mother went to junior college. And your father, he went to Santa Monica. That's right. And how old are we? We were in our 40s. You know, my entire family graduated from college. Average age college graduation?
52.
How dare you? 48.
Oh, beg your pardon.
Junior college, please. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back with more of the show after this. There we go.
I found I'm going to be on that Men from Mars, Women from Venus show tomorrow.
Civil Shepherd show. Your show airs tomorrow?
My show airs tomorrow.
You already did it?
I did it, yes.
When did you do it?
A few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
It's a good show.
What time does it air? Syndicated show, right?
Yeah, syndicated show. Check the local listings, yeah. This is the Civil Shepherd show. But you know what? It's a show that you and I have talked about for a long time, which is basically politically incorrect about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it works. That's a
that was our show.
I know.
Oh, it's a...
We had two guys in our show, not four.
I was going to do... I was asked to do it.
Yeah.
Must have been a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
But as you know, I based my career on driving.
Yes.
And that shoe...
Out here.
Out here.
Sony.
Yeah. Oh, no. No way. That's great. I really have a great career, which is... Well, I'm in Sherman Oaks working on my house. So where is this? Is it North Hollywood or Sherman Oaks? No, it's over in Culver Studios. What time? Oh, like 2 or 3 o'clock. Oh, no. Too much traffic. Sorry. Nothing personal. There's traffic. If it was by me, I'd do it. I'd do it tomorrow. I'd do five of them. I'd do a public access show. It's not the sizing thing. It's the driving part that gets me. And I don't know how it works, but it seems like all the good stuff's in, like, Santa Monica and Culver City and Westwood and West L.A. And if you're... it's bad driving around here. It's really a lot of traffic.
It was fun to do.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of showbiz, the actor strike is just about over.
Comments from you?
Yeah, it's over. It's over. Yeah. So all you guys, all you actors, starting tomorrow can return to work. And just make sure you get there early so you can catch the brush runch. Brush rush. the brunch rush is what I meant to say. Yes, because you'll be bringing coffee to folks who have jobs. You can't articulate yourself any better than that. Put the brush runch on a cart too, so you can back up the articulate one too, in case something ever happens to that tape. Thank you. All right, so you guys can all head back to not working tomorrow. Thanks very much. Fantastic. John, and what happened, by the way, with that actor's strike? Did they get anything?
Yeah, they got most of what they wanted, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. I like the idea that they wanted people to boycott Procter & Gamble and all the other companies. Yeah, there's a lot of sympathy going out for the actors out there. The working man really sympathizes with the plight of the guys who sit around and eat and do nothing all day, make a ton of money. I know all the Latino guys I work with and pay $12 an hour and barely feed their kids. These guys were they were talking. I overheard in Spanish. They're talking about boycotting Procter & Gamble. Sure. Our hearts go out.
John, 19.
John?
John.
Hey.
You're 19. What's up?
Me and my girlfriend have been together for about 3 years now, and we've been having sex for about 2 of the years, and the whole time she's not had an orgasm. And I'm trying to figure out any way that I can help her because... You know, I want her to feel, experience the same experiences that I feel, and, you know, and I just want her to be a part of this more than, and it's just, I don't know what to do. We've tried everything.
Does she care as much as you care?
Yeah, she's given just as much effort, and just things just, she always This never works.
Does she try by herself? Does she try by herself?
She's tried a few times, and she but she does feel uncomfortable doing that, though.
Do you, by herself? Yeah. She feels uncomfortable by herself.
Yeah, when she, like, what, you mean masturbating, or?
I don't know. Well, listen, if I'm by myself, I'll put my whole fist in my ass. I don't care. But by myself, I'm, count me in, whatever it is. I'll do the weirdest things in the world by, why? Only women can feel uncomfortable by themselves. It's like, I'm home, I'm alone. I'm not comfortable with me and doing what I'm doing to me right now. Guys, there are guys be doing like a line of coke and putting their other fists in their ass. I have a bowl. I got a lamp in my ass. I'm doing a line of coke. I'm whacking off to my grandparents' anniversary shot from the 50th anniversary party. I'm watching tape of that right now. I'm crying. No, I'm wearing a dunce cap while I'm doing it. I got a Hitler mustache I've taken and put in with the marks a lot. By yourself, fine. I'm always amazed at what women are comfortable with, but again, not uncomfortable by themselves.
But that just shows how different the biology is.
I know.
It doesn't make sense to them.
Hey, you said she was 17?
No, she's 19.
Oh, 19.
Hey, by the way, there's some data out there that does correlate that energy that men have with testosterone levels, and in women, the same thing. Women that have higher testosterone levels have a greater propensity to masturbate.
All right. So, John?
Yeah.
You may be in a... Listen, why don't you get her a vibrator, see if that works.
I don't think she'd feel very comfortable.
Well, listen. Okay. Hold on.
Then you got a problem.
Yeah. John? Yeah. Then you got a lost cause.
That's a different thing. That's not... I've tried everything. That no. She's anxious about stuff.
Yeah. If she wants to have an orgasm, yet she's uncomfortable attempting to do things that will give her an orgasm, then she gets no orgasm.
Right.
It's like, I want to be a triathlete. I'm not comfortable with the cycling or the swimming aspect of it. But yet, I'd really, you can't be one. You got to get in the goddamn water and get on the bike. Or you don't get to be one. You can't say both. She's uptight, and he's freaked out about it.
Should we do any rock the boat discussion here? Rock the boat, rather? Rock the boat.
Yeah, we'll call it that, too. Do you want to have that? You
know, we have only a few moments.
Well, it's not like we've discussed it periodically, haven't we?
Right.
As much as we plug anything else.
All right.
What happened to the guy who was sleeping?
Here.
Did he fall off? No, he's still there?
He's lost weight since...
Chris? Oh, yeah.
Still sawing logs that much.
Chris!
Oh, it's important for us to find out how much you weigh.
I know.
Thinks his uncle is touching his 5-year-old sister.
And he's sleeping to this?
Mm. Yeah. I have disdain for people who sleep well because I don't. I get angry with them. I wish I could. You know what I like? I like the guys who snore and then claim they don't snore. Like my partner Jimmy Kimmel, he does some fairly world class snoring.
He's so tiny and svelte, I can't understand.
Yeah, the more hair and the more gut you got, the more snoring you do. And he does some serious snoring, you know. And when we travel, sometimes we just stay in the same room. We'll stay in the same room. I go, I don't know, Jimmy, you snore. I do not. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I thought I could pull one over on it. I would go. Why would I bring it up? Why would I say it? Plus, you know what that guy did? He whacked off in a bathtub once, and I was standing in it. So, the honeymoon's over.
He didn't jack off into the tub while he was standing in it. He vacated the tub just after having done that and allowed his partner to walk in there and shower.
We were staying at a motel in Seattle for the Final Four. K-Rock, the mother station here, had put us up over there. And K-Rock being K-Rock, by the way, you travel with K-Rock, you fly Power Air, and they put you up in a motel that is 70 miles out of Seattle. Where the kind where you get woken up at night because the car pulls in and the headlights shine through your window. Oh, Jesus, are they cheap over there. Oh, my God, are they cheap. But anyway, I don't know why Kevin and Bean put up with that. But here's my point. We're bunking up in the same dump way in the outskirts of Seattle. The tub is clogged. He gets in the shower. Then he's done with the shower. Then I get in the shower. I'm standing in the water up to my knee. And he says, be careful, I whacked off in that. Meanwhile, so there's icebergs floating around in that tub. Yeah.
You should come work for Rock the Vote.
I really should, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we get our own hotel rooms.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God, is that K-Rock cheap? Oh, my God. Tower Air. You take a bus to the plane. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. I could do an hour on that.
Oh,
okay. Where are we?
We're going home.
No. Kara?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to have your labia cut?
Well, isn't it called, like, labiaplasty?
Yeah, or something like that. Why? Is it something
big?
No, I was just wondering, like, how common and how safe is it?
What's wrong with yours?
They're just long.
How long?
It's done. I've heard of it being done. It's not terribly common, and it's pretty safe.
I have heard of it being done, and more, there's all sorts of reconstructive stuff going on down there. And if it really, really, really bothers you, maybe you should look into it. But I don't think guys care so much.
They don't care.
And as a matter of fact, they're into it.
Some.
Thank you. We'll be back. Here's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Rowe there, and that is the show. Again, Kara Topp coming in here tomorrow night, and then Insane Clown Posse is coming in the next night. I want to thank Allison Burnfield for coming in here from Rock the Boat. What can they people do? Can they log on to some kind of Rock the Boat www thing or something?
Yeah, it's too late to register to vote, but those folks who are registered and they're not going to be in town when to vote, a lot of this is applicable to a lot of college students. They can still apply for an absentee ballot on our website. Yes.
I'm sorry, I was going to say we are in probably a lot of cities where, states where you still could register to vote.
Most states, the deadlines have passed, but they can check out, you can register to vote on our website. You can apply for an absentee ballot. You should check it out at www.rockthevote.org or .com.
Yeah, I don't want to give any problems, but weren't you saying there was a handful of states or cities?
A handful of states. North Dakota, you don't have to register. Wisconsin, Wyoming, Minnesota, and New Hampshire, you can do same-day registration.
And the other ones probably we've passed.
Yeah, we've passed.
All right. Well, another 4 years, that's fine. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Hi! Bye!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.